we're going to start off around 3:1, kind of get an idea of where we're flowing into. And so far we've talked about the creation story and everything like that, and how God created the heavens and the earth. And we talked about how he created Adam and Eve. And now we got the fall that's coming up. And this is where we fall away from God as a humanity. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? First off, it's kind of strange that a woman's talking to a snake, but, you know, he's a serpent, he's the devil, he's speaking through that, so that's just the way it is. But she's like, did God say that ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? The woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither ye touch it, lest ye die. And isn't it funny how we want to add to what God has to say? It's so easy, is it not? We can go logically in saying, well, if God meant it here, then he must be doing it here, right? We need to be true to Scripture. And God did not say, lest ye touch it. He said, don't eat it. We should still trace true to whatever God says. It says, but the fruit of the tree, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Not only that, he said, lest ye die. And when God said it, he shall surely die. Now, it's a guarantee. If you do this, you're going to die. Now, first of all, I don't even know if Eve understood what dying was. Because there was no death at this particular time, and it was the first man and woman out there. But I don't want to dwell too deep on that. I think we talked about that a little bit last week. But you see how she's kind of minimized the death, where even the serpent said, God didn't say you shall surely die. He's already saying that God didn't say this. And I'm pretty sure, I hope Adam had taught Eve well exactly what God did say. I hope he was saying that. And it said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He didn't have to tempt her much, did he? He's like, you're not going to die. Guess what? When you eat of that, you're going to be just like gods, and you're going to know good and evil. There's some truth in that, is there not? But is there not truth in that? Do they really understand the difference between good and evil once they eat of it? But that wasn't part of God's plan, was it? That wasn't part of God's plan. And so he kind of mixes a little bit of truths in with those lies. And you know, it doesn't take much, even at that particular time. It's like, yeah, God's great. I'd like to be just like him. She doesn't even know what God truly is. Nobody knows what God truly is. Can we even fathom? Can you picture in your little feeble mind God? I can't. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the parameters in my understanding to understand who God is, because God has no parameters. In fact, God set the parameters up in existence to allow me to have any kind of inkling and understanding of them. My mind is in what God set up. God set up time. God set up, He made everything. He made time. He made all the substance there is. We live in God's created world. We can't even understand the creation. So how do you think we can understand the Creator? We know a lot about God, but we don't fully understand. There's no way to fully understand. And that's my, I'm talking about the completeness of God, fathom exactly who he is. But anyway, but we still want to be like him, do we not? I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. I still do. Trust me. So, he goes on to say, and said, women saw that the food was good. When women saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took thereof and did eat, and also gave her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, there are some people that will take this verse because it says, and gave her husband with her, to think that Adam was standing by during this particular time and watched this drama play out between Eve and the devil and did not do anything to step in. Is that possible? Yes. Can we say for sure from the scripture that we are given that that's exactly what happened? He was with her, but do we know whether the devil spoke to her, then she went to the tree and got some and ate it and then brought it to him? At that, when exactly time was he with her? Was he with her with the time when the devil was speaking? He was with her at that time. Could it be that he was with her in the garden? You understand how what I'm saying is that we need to take scripture for what exactly it says. And I'm not saying that he couldn't have been there looking on and looking at this, but that we can't say that for sure. We don't have enough information, do we? We don't have the video evidence. Huh? Well, I'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to go on. I think there's some other things in here we can claim. It goes on to say, and I'm throwing this out for fruit for thought, okay? I'm not saying I believe. I don't know. I tend to lean toward that he was there watching, but there's some other stuff in here that kind of, maybe not. So let's go on a little bit more. And it says, so at this particular time, we know that the woman was deceived by the devil, this great serpent of old. We know that, one other thing, we know that at this particular time, the devil has already had to fall, has he not? Yes, sir. Yeah, we'll get that. I know we'll get that here in a minute. I was going to get to that in a minute. Okay. Yeah, that's some more information here we got to draw. And the question is, whenever he talks about the devil as a serpent here, is he talking about the physical attributes of the devil, or is he talking about what we think of a serpent is, a sneaky, slimy reptile that takes and hides, but it strikes from some place that you can't, the unseen area, to draw you down and kill you. Don't we think about a snake? A snake hides. It's camouflaged. You see, so is he talking about that he was an actual serpent, or is he talking about the nomenclature of what do we think a serpent is? And that's something we can think about too. That being said, at that particular time, like I said, she did give it she took the food, she ate of it, she gave it to her husband, and he ate of it. Don't understand. Adam knew exactly what that was. He knew exactly where that tree come from, where that fruit come from. At that particular time, he could have said, I'm not eating this. God said, we shouldn't eat of this. Let's go talk to God and get you fixed, woman. But you don't think Adam knew what the fruit looked like when it was on this tree that's in the midst of the garden? He had been tending the garden. You don't think Adam knew? Well, I'm saying, and that's a complete plausible thought. I'm not saying you're not right. Okay? Now, so at that particular time, you know, Adam had a choice, right? He knew that it was from the tree. Because if he did know it's from the tree, he has an argument with God. But how can you curse me for something I don't know about? Well, he knew it. Adam walked into this with open eyes, knowing that he was doing what God told him not to do. We can say that, can't we? We know it's true because Scripture tells us that. And we know that Eve was deceived because why? God tells us that later on. That's what Paul says. So, but I'm just looking at it for you. I'm trying not to look at it from the backwards going forward. I'm trying to look at it from their point of view. Sometimes when you look back, when you look especially at this particular scripture, you try to put yourself in the mind of what's going through these people at that time. If I take and I read Old Testament scripture, if I read Genesis, where I'm going to, and I get to where it's Abraham. And I try to say, well, because of what I know that Paul wrote, it gives me a different perspective when I look back into Genesis, does it not? But when you look at Genesis and you start looking at the people in Genesis, when you start judging, you're seeing what these people are doing, sometimes it benefits you to put yourself in their understanding. Because then you kind of get an idea of exactly what they were thinking at this particular time. So we really need to be careful about putting what we know back on the Old Testament saints or whatever the people in that particular era. We do the same thing with our government, do we not? Anyway, I'm not going to try to get politics today, so I'm going to stay with you. It says, okay. Now, it says, after they ate, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Wait a second. Were they blind before? What's the big deal about being naked? They knew they were naked before, right? So, there is this thing. They were running around with no clothes on. The minute they ate, there was this knowledge that came on them. Their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked. And they perceived, their innocence was struck away. Now they perceive that being naked. So what did they do? They sewed some fig leaves together. I don't know how you do that. I've never seen a fig leaf. I don't know how you would sew it together. I'm sure there's ways to do it. Fig leaf. But they took, thank you for that. So evidently, this is a pretty good sized leaf, right? So evidently, it was pretty good for what they were trying to use it for. I couldn't see some of these little old leaves up here, especially with the one with little points on it. You ever have those little bushes that put shrubs in their house, and you touch them, they got the little points on the end of the leaf, and they stick you? I couldn't imagine leaves like that being made for loincloth. So a fig leaf is big. They took and they sewed these fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to hide their shame. Now, of a sudden they heard the Lord God walking through the garden in the cool of the day. So they hear God coming through the garden. That would be amazing because, you know, God just doesn't deal with it that way. Imagine God, we have a garden, God walking. That'd be amazing. But he was walking through this garden, and in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Why did they hide themselves? They were ashamed. They knew they had done wrong. They have done what God said. How many times is that not what our kids do? You have innocent children, right? They're so pure and they're so innocent. There's nothing wrong with them. The Bible says different. But anyway, they're pure and they're innocent. There's nothing wrong with them. They do something wrong. Did they not hide it? Did we not attempt to hide what we did wrong from our parents? If I had gotten all the whoopings for the things that I did wrong, I would probably not be living right now. All the things that I didn't tell them about, or I just kept in the darkness. So they figured that they would hide from God. Hide from God. Yeah, we know that, and they should have known it. So they're walking through, and they hear God's voice, and they're ashamed of what they did. They only told to do one thing. He had one rule. Don't eat of the tree that's in the midst. They couldn't even do that. One rule. All because they wanted to be like God. They wanted to know that they wanted their eyes open. They want to know the difference between good and evil. How's that worked out for us? Give me innocence any day. Let God run the thing, and I will innocently walk through. I will say that. I probably would. I would say that. In my understanding as a Christian and what I want to be, I would say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But then I got this sinful nature that continually battles against what I'm wanting. Anyway, so they sow these figs together. They hid amongst the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? You know, I think that God knew exactly where Adam was. But you walk in and he says, Adam, where are you? I think God already knew what they'd done. Understand, God already knew what they'd done. God knew what they were going to do before he took it, he made anything. And he still did this creation knowing all the problems that we were going to give him. There's some love right there, is it not? Anyway, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, Adam responded to him, said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Why are we afraid? He says, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. God, I was naked. So I hid myself. Adam. Said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Well, he asked Adam. He said, hey, who told you this? Who knows? He said, then he goes on to say, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thou shouldest not eat? Have you ever questioned your children this way? But who fatherly love or something. The same way that we would talk to one of our children, is it not? We know what they did. We've got the evidence in our hand. You ever seen a kid and it's like they eat the birthday cake or the cake and they got the frosting all over their mouth? Oh, I didn't do it. Ah, there you go. I didn't do it. Yes, you did. I can see it on your lips. Why are you doing that? Well, you see, but understand, God already knew this had happened, did he not? But he said to Adam, he said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree that I commanded you not to? And I'm paraphrasing this. I'm trying to put this back in East Texas terms. I like speaking. But y'all can read what I've done, said what it is, so y'all can read. Exactly, it says in the old. And this is what the man said. What did the man say? That woman that you gave me, it's not my fault, God. That woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Yes, Father, it's not my fault. It's really your fault because you gave me that woman. And she snatched some of that fruit from that tree, and I did eat it. Have you ever seen one of them when they question one of those little kids that's got the thing on his face, and you kind of question, he's like, man, you know, you see you kind of wiggling around trying to see how much truth I can tell and still tell my lies. Then the God turns to the woman. And he said, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? What does the woman say? Not my fault. No. That snake, that serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. He beguiled. What's the definition of beguiled? It's like Siegfried and Roy tricks going on, okay? He totally snuck it out on me. He tricked me totally into doing this. And God does say that the woman was deceived. Does he not? I don't want to read that in this, but you look all the way back into Paul's writings, and it said that the woman was deceived. So she said, that serpent tricked me. What is this thou have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. They're fessing up to the crime, are they not? And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust you shall eat all the days of thy life. And this goes to what Coach says. You know, that now, was the serpent walking at that particular time? Because God cursed it to be on its stomach the rest of existence. It's interesting, is it not? But what happened to the legs at that particular time? Did they fall off? Again, trying to read into Scripture is hard to do. We know that God cursed the serpent at that time. And goes on to say, like I said, I don't want to read off into this. I don't know whether the serpent was standing up and all his legs fell off and all of a sudden he had to slither around like a snake. I don't know. I'm telling you what the Scripture says. But he says that he cursed a serpent at that particular time. And we know who this serpent was. It was the devil at that particular time. But the idea is he cursed a serpent. Now it's going to be crawling around its belly. It's kind of like crawling around there with that dirt. Lowly thing. Get down there where you belong. And he goes on to say, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel. Who are we talking about here? What is this seed that he's talking about? This is the first going forth of who Jesus Christ was. He was going to come when God determined it. And look at what it says. He says that he will put enmity between the woman, between her, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel. Who ever watched The Passion of the Christ? When you watch The Passion of Christ, there's a section in there where Jesus takes and stomps on the snake's head. I don't read that anywhere in my Bible. But it's kind of a picture of what Hollywood does. But understand, when it says that you're supposed to put enmity between the seed of the woman and you. He's talking about the Lord Jesus coming. There's going to be this enmity between them. And it says, it shall bruise thy head. Now, and you shall bruise its heel. In other words, it's going to take and destroy you. Bruise the head. What do you bruise? That's what I'm saying. Years ago, I was going through my back surgery. And there were these opossums that were under my house. And they found a way to dig up through my floor. And one of them opossums come into my room. Now, I'm on my cane. I luckily have my boot on because I don't really walk around with that. But my dog goes crazy, and I go into the room, and I see this opossum in there. And I kind of see him there, and I pin him. I put my foot on him, but I'm wearing my big, heavy boot, which I know he can't bite through. And now I'm in a conundrum. I'm at home by myself. I didn't know at that particular time that opossums can't have rabies. Say they can't, I don't know. And it was a youngster, but it was snarling and being mean toward me. And I had to have a choice, because I'm not fighting this opossum. I just got over back surgery, okay? So I had to take and kill the opossum. And I stepped my foot down and stepped on its head and crushed its head. And it died. Now, the idea of crushing a head brings upon what? Death, right? What's the idea of bruising a heel? You're going to be a pain to that seed. And, oh, God, is the devil a pain? He's a pain to us. In fact, we don't even need him, but he's still a pain to us, right? I don't need the devil to do wrong. You'll never hear me say the devil made me do it. I've got enough within myself to know that I don't need the devil to do what's wrong. But he's out there, and he's against God, the Lord Jesus, and everything he does. He's the adversary. He's the one out there leading all the people astray, right? But he's just a minor annoyance to the Lord Jesus. He's just a minor annoyance. The Lord Jesus will, in the end, take care of him. But that's the idea between bruising a head and bruising the heel. One's unto death, and the other one's unto an annoyance. But it says that this particular seed will come out of the woman, and there'll be enmity between the two. Now, he turns to the woman, and he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, woman, because you were tricked by this serpent, okay, because you were tricked, I'm going to greatly multiply the sorrow in your conception. Evidently, he's making birth a lot harder than what it originally was. That's the only thing I can think of. That's what it says. And it says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. I've never, hardly ever seen a woman sorrowful when she brings forth a child. So y'all women are elated. I don't know if it's because it's over with or because y'all really love them squalling brats. But in sorrow you'll bring forth children. And I really can't, I don't know where to go with that. Does anybody got any ideas? Hey? Like I said, that could be, I'm looking at ESB, I'm looking at the King James, and I didn't really do a word search on it. That could be in pain, in great pain. But there's going to be burdensome to bring forth children. That's what he said at that particular time. But not only that, it says that, okay, it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, this is not that she shall desire her husband. It means that you will be subjugated to your husband at this time, and he shall rule over you. He will be in charge. Why is the husband in charge? Because he's the representative of God, and she was fooled. She was fooled. She was tricked into it. Understand, that's the only way the Lord Jesus comes to exist. If the woman was not tricked, she's just as responsible as Adam is she not? Adam walked into this eyes wide open. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And he goes, it's Adam, it says, because you listened to the voice of your wife, instead of listening to me, you had a choice, did he not? Could Adam have said, God said don't eat of that, I need to get with God? Could he have said that? But no, he willingly went along with his wife, knowing it was wrong. And I'm not talking about you women here. Adam walked into it eyes wide open. Now, I'm not saying y'all women ain't trouble, but, okay, I'm going to get myself in trouble there. Anyway, Adam said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of, cursed is the ground because of you. He just didn't curse Adam. He cursed the whole world. Does not Paul says that the world groaneth? This sin that happened affected all of creation. All he did was take a bite of the apple, right? No, what he did was disobey God. It's simple. It's a simple thing, right? All he did, can we not say all he did was take a bite? How often do we disobey God and rationalize it away? We're no better than Adam, are we? So because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the which I commanded you not, you shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. When they were walking through the garden, all the trees were there that were good. All the trees and the herbs grew. You tended the garden. But boy, it was food there plenty, right? I need a bananas right there. Mango, yeah. A little bit of cilantro. I don't know about iceberg lettuce. Don't have much flavor. But you see, There was no toil or trouble there, right? It was Eden. It was perfect. There was food aplenty for everything they needed. If they could live their life there in relative ease. Yeah. He was going to do work. He was to tend the garden. But in relative ease of living. Now, there's going to be pain involved, okay? There will be thorns and thistles. A thorn is, we all know what a thorn is. I think, what is a thistle? Anybody ever seen a thistle? So a thistle is like that crawling thorn bush that my, that these creeping vines that have little jagged edges on them. Or those little weeds that come up that you really have to wear gloves because they got little barbs on them. Little small barbs. Know what they're called? You know what I'm talking about, but we've all seen them. It's not easy anymore. You're going to have to work for it, Adam. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. Understand, you're not going to be in the garden anymore. Now you're going to be in the field. It's not going to be an easy existence. You're going to be out there living your life in a hard environment. Yeah. I don't know about that. Like I said, at the particular time, whenever God created all animals ate the herbs. There was no meat eaters at the time. It changes at the fall. I don't know how drastic it changed to fall or anything like that. That's something that's a little speculation. I'm not. But I understand where you're going with that, Coach. Yeah. It says, but thorns and thistles you bring forth, you shall eat of the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You think they understood death then? They were never, God did not create us to die. He created us to live in a society, a place where there was this tree in the middle of the thing, the tree of life, and you didn't eat out of that other tree, and you ate out of the tree of life, and you lived forever. But he hasn't brought them to him yet. So, I don't want to jump ahead. At this particular time, you think God, Adam's getting a crash course in exactly what it means to die? Because it says, from the dust you were taken, to the dust you shall return. And this man, and the man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. You notice that his wife didn't get a name until right then? You're a woman. Now you're Eve. Why was that so? Why did he wait till then to name her? Or did he name her before and we're just now being told? I don't know. Because I say woman to my wife, she knows she's a woman. I know. Well, anyway. Okay, so, and the Lord made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. So the God went out and sacrificed animals to make garments of skin at this particular time, to clothe them, to cover up their nakedness. Something there, is it not? Is this the first killing that happened? Is this the first death that happened at that particular time? Well, that's the first one they tell us about. So, God sacrificed some animals to make them garments out of skin, or skin to clothe them. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, this man has become like us." And not saying that he's become God, he's saying, but he's come like us. He knows good and evil now. Knows good and evil. And now he says, lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to the world, to work the ground from which he was taken. So at this particular time, God said, these people, these sinful man now, they have done what they weren't supposed to do. They have become like us, knowing the difference between good and evil. And they know the difference because now they saw that they were naked. And now they were ashamed of that. And I was like, oh, before, they were totally innocent. You know, you're a child. Sometimes you bathe your daughters and sons in the bathtub. I've seen that happen. They're innocent, right? They don't know the difference. When they're 15 or 16, you don't do that no more. They're no longer innocent, are they? Once they learn the difference, that you can't do that anymore. So he's saying that these people, these Adam and Eve now know the difference between good and evil. And if we leave one in the garden, they're going to eat of the truth of life and live forever. Can't have that. It's not right. So what God does is God sends them out from the garden, this beautiful place designed for man to live in relative comfort. I'm not saying he's basking around with women bringing grapes and feeding him while he's sitting around and on the thing. That's not the idea. He was a worker. He was supposed to tend that garden. He was going to be, but it was a really easy job, okay? I'm pretty sure it was between 70 and 80 degrees most of the time, okay? I'm pretty sure of that. Okay? Now he's got to go out and he's got to work the fields. And he's going to be sweating. It's going to be 105 degrees in the middle of Texas during the winter, summer. But you still got to get out there and get your job done, right? Because the kids still got to get fed. So now they have to go out from the Eden. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the garden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In other words, at that particular time, he placed this cherubim on the east side of the garden. Evidently, the entrance was on the east side. That's the reason. It's a guard out there to stop man from coming back in, to dissuade them from coming in and partaking of the tree of life. Protect them from themselves, right? Because if they took the tree of life and they lived forever, they'd be living forever in their sin. But he's already got a plan. He's already got a plan. The plan was before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul tells us. And this is just the start of it. So I think I'm going to shut off there. I think that's far enough. Anybody got any comments or questions or anything for this morning's teaching? Who is God speaking to? I think he's speaking to the Godhead. I think he's speaking to the Lord Jesus. You all go all the way back to verse 3 and you see that all the way back in the creation. When he says, "Let us," he's not talking to angels. He's talking to the Godhead itself. The Lord Jesus is there the whole time. In fact, John says that nothing was spoken to existence. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and walked amongst us. That's the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was there at this particular time, part of the Godhead, and he's communing with himself. There's a plurality, but also God is one. Well, I'm glad you understand that, but I don't. It's a hard thing to understand, is it not? Yeah, Oh, yeah. Anybody got anything else? Okay, Mike, would you like to close this morning, sir?